welcome to the broadcast. Today we continue. This is number 11 in our series in 1 Thessalonians. Today we're in chapter 5. We'll begin at verse number 12. Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13, we read, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Interesting portion of scripture we'll look at in a minute. In the meantime, listen to this message and song and make it your prayer. Teach me to know thy will, O Lord.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. And free, Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I
again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, Paul said, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Know them, he said. We want you to know them which labor among you. Know them. That word know is in 1 Thessalonians 13 times. I'm going to give you those verses. Chapter 1 and verse 5, know, ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You know, he said, you know what manner of men. That's why it's important to have a local church and a local church pastor. Both are accountable. The pastor is accountable to the people are accountable to one another, and everybody's accountable to God. Sometimes you get some evangelist that's from 100 miles away or maybe 1,000 miles away, and he's on a radio or a TV or a computer program like the one you're listening to now. And, you know, the Bible says the prophet is not without honor except in his own place. Sometimes we'll give more honor to those people we don't know. We have a pastor that lives among us, and he's been serving the Lord for many years. You know him. And Paul says, ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. He said, God blessed our entrance in unto you. Chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Paul said, we had a lot of contention back there in Philippi, and you know about that, and you know that that didn't stop us. We were bold in the Lord, even though we had much contention there at Thessalonica. You know, he said. Then in chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says here, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know. Flattering words. Now, flattering words are words that give pleasure. We're in this age when everybody's saying, oh, just preach us the smooth things now. Don't go preaching those hard things. Just give us the smooth things. Give us pleasure. Give us flattering words. Flattering words have a motive, and that motive is self-interest. Well, I'll just preach the smooth things, and then I can build a good big, large group of people here, and I'll look like I'm successful. Well, you may not be too successful. Paul said this. He said, neither at any time used we flattering words. We didn't just come along in words that would tickle your ears, and we didn't have any self-interest in how we preach, as ye No, he said here in verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse 11, as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. We exhorted you, number one. We comforted you and we charged you as a father doth his children. Then in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. The Bible's very plain. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know that, he said. That's why so few people are ready to stand up and be the kind of Christian testimony they should be. I don't want any of that persecution stuff. Well, it says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Chapter 3 and verse 4 says, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Chapter 3 and verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Paul said, I couldn't forbear any longer. I had to send, he sent Timothy back there to find out how their faith, what they really believe, are they standing true. Chapter 4 and verse number 2, he said, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. chapter 4 and verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And then he went on to say in verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, the Gentiles which know not. Then he said in chapter 5, and verse number 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. They know that Christ is coming back. And then in chapter 5 and verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, he said they labor among you. Now, that word labor has the connotation of growing weary. 1 Timothy 5 and 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. He says in this verse, they are over you, they admonish you, and he said, esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Well, I want to comment here just on this one phrase, over you. God has an authority structure in the home. The Bible says husbands are to be in charge. Wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Mother and fathers, be in charge of the children. God has an authority structure in the home. He also has an authority structure in the government, and that is nationally or local government. And he has an authority structure in the business world. And the Bible goes into much detail about that, about how employer-employee relationships should be. But he also has an authority structure in the church. He said, know them, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Well, over you. we like that fact that they're going to labor among us. Yeah, let them grow weary in the word and let them grow weary doing everything else while we do nothing. That's sometimes the case that is with church members. They are over you in the Lord, and they labor among you. Oh, yeah, we like that labor among us stuff. That's good. And they admonish you. Yeah, build us up. We like that. But over you? Oh, no. We don't want anybody over us. No people telling us what we have to do. Some years ago, we had some people in our church who were very adamant and said that it's against the scriptures to have a nursery. We think our children should sit with us in church. Well, we have a nursery. No, we think that's unscriptural. I said, well, do you have a verse about that? And they couldn't seem to come up with a verse. I said, well, what about in Nehemiah, where several times it says there that the preacher was preaching to those that could understand? Maybe the rest of them were in the nursery. And then what about the Bible verse that says, let all things be done decently in order? You bring some unsaved person to church and some little kid is crying and squawking and another one's messing his diaper. Is that decently and in order? I said, you know, we may not have a real verse that says we have to have a nursery or we don't have to have a nursery, but we do have a verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 that says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, and they must do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. You realize there's no submission unless we disagree. I mentioned to this couple that said we shouldn't have a nursery in the church. I said there's no scripture in the Bible that says we should have a nursery or we shouldn't have a nursery. There's no scripture in the Bible that says we should have a washroom or we shouldn't have a washroom either. But there is a scripture that says that you to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. There's a verse that says to do that. So I've decided we are going to have a nursery, and that's the end of the subject right there. We're going to have a nursery. Well, they left the church. Oh, yeah, we like that part that says that you are going to labor among us as a pastor, and we like that part that says you're going to admonish us and uplift us, but over us? No, thanks. It's my way or the highway, and away they go. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, Paul goes on with some words for the church membership here. He said, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." Brethren, he said, you have a responsibility here. That word brethren is found 17 times in 1 Thessalonians, and he says warn them. That word warn has been translated admonish 4 different times. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says admonishing one another. The word means to put it in mind. Who are we to be warning? The unruly, the disorderly, those that cause disruption among in the local church. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says their mouths must be stopped. It says in verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the Lord." Sometimes we don't want to just go and say to a fellow church member, "Listen, you're unruly and this is wrong." It's not a case of preaching or anything else. It's just a case of going to them and admonishing them, saying, "No, warn them that are unruly." It says, "Comfort the feeble-minded," that are those that are lacking understanding. "Support the weak," they're lacking in spiritual strength. And then he says, "Be patient toward all." Well, you know, when you get a local church, you got a lot of different people meeting together. You have fathers, you have mothers, you have children, we have the rich, we have the poor, we have doctors, we have plumbers, we have those that are educated, we have those that are not educated. There's quite a group. Get together again and let there be unity in that group, he said, and be patient toward all men. Well, we have a lot of material here we should be working on as Christians, and this prayer that we listened to, this message and song as we started, we're going to play it again. It says, "Teach me thy will, O Lord, and teach me thy way." It's not only important that we know the will of God, it's important we do it his way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whate'er seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I seemeth best in thee to find. to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Peace me.